Today we're having a one-day sitting, and I wanted to focus my words today and the feeling of the day, for the rest of the day, for sure, on stability in the mind and heart of Zazen. So we also must, can we close the windows, at least for now? Is that all right with you all? Because otherwise it's going to be incredibly noisy very soon. That's okay, Pig. We can do that later.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, if you could close this one too. Thank you. Stability in the mind and heart of Zazen, and we have to remember that we can't forget about the body. We are a breathing body, and our lives are expressed physically, as well as in thoughts, emotions, responses, and a depth that's beyond our categories. So, you know, we can't carve out one aspect of our being and prioritize it, excise it, whatever. We're all of it. And if we do that, when we do that, in Zazen, we are not practicing Zazen. Even though we're always practicing Zazen. So when we excise some aspect of us, it's guaranteed to promote the opposite of stability. I've talked about this before. Stability is inclusive and vast and does not oppose anything. So we have to take the time to consider what it means for us, what inspires us to understand and follow the path of inclusion and stability. I was thinking about this the other day, and I recalled a story that Edward Brown has told many times and also has written about. Edward is often known as Ed Brown, but he prefers Edward, so that's why I call him Edward. So Edward is a Zen priest and teacher, author of the Tassajara Bread Book, as well as many other books on cooking and Zen practice. He was an early student of Shunryu Suzuki Roshi, the founder of San Francisco Zen Center. Edward was Tenzo, or head cook, at Tassajara in the very early years. And he is known for his fiery temper and his devotion, absolute devotion, to caring for food and cooking as a Zen practice. So he writes eloquently about both of these things. And I highly recommend anything he has written about this, especially if you want to cultivate a relationship with food that honors all the ingredients and opens that up as Dharma Gate. And just in general, to hear a clear, strong voice about Zen practice. So while Edward was Tenzo, many residents were not behaving according to plan. They would raid the refrigerators, come late to work, not pay attention to what they were doing, talk when they were supposed to be silent, be heedless about how they were handling the ingredients, how they were preparing the food, and generally not follow the guidelines of practice in a Zen kitchen. So Edward tried everything, as he says, to shift what was going on. He would tell them, when you cut carrots, cut the carrots. When you stir the soup, stir the soup. But as he tells it, no one listened. And nothing changed. So he got more and more and more frustrated. So he went to Suzuki Roshi and complained, telling him all the things that were happening, all the ways this was driving him nuts, all the ways it was interfering with his job and the spirit of practice in the kitchen. This was no Zen kitchen that was happening. So, as he says, Suzuki Roshi listened carefully, and it seemed to Edward that he was indicating that he understood and was thinking something like, yes, it is hard to work with people like that. Or, I know it's hard to get good help these days. So Edward talked about the situation, and Suzuki Roshi listened and listened. And when Edward ran out of steam, Suzuki Roshi finally spoke, and he said, if you want to see virtue, it takes a calm mind. If you want to see virtue, it takes a calm mind. Or I recall Ed saying one time, it takes a calm mind to see virtue. So remember that mind in our tradition is shin, both heart and mind, not just what goes on between your ears. Thoughts are impacted often powerfully by our emotions. They can grow out of the seedbed of our emotions. And emotions are fanned and can grow larger depending on our thoughts. So we take both into account along with our body. So if you want to see virtue, you have to have a calm mind, or it takes a calm mind to see virtue. This was not what Edward was expecting. And yet, all these years later, it remains a powerful teaching. So we say, why? Why? It's clear, Suzuki Roshi was not just being nice or lax. It was not as if he didn't care what happened in the kitchen. And so then thought Edward was being uptight and should let the crew do whatever they wanted or sit and listen to them or whatever. He was not being just easy about whatever happened. What he did was point to an entirely different perspective, an entirely different dimension and view of the situation and what was called for. So often we expect that what we need to solve a problem or a challenge is on the same axis, so to speak, as the problem or the challenge itself, right? So Edward goes to Suzuki Roshi, he expects some sympathy, he expects to be agreed with, and then he expects some solution, maybe. But Suzuki Roshi just took a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn. We think that these things are going to be solved, but Suzuki Roshi opened a Dharma gate. So we may think we need better help, we need to whip people into shape, we need to tell them just the right thing to do, or we give up. We let things run amok. we tell ourselves it's hopeless, or we do not care. We tend to want to control and think, or think we have no control. And the same is true for our minds. Suzuki Roshi pulls us right out of the mindset that is dictated by our assumptions. He transforms our vision of what is happening and what is needed and points us in a new direction. He dislodges us from what we think the point is and opens a Dharma gate that we did not even see was there. Instead of getting carrots cut with precision and awareness, he asks, you know, another, get all these people in line, Edward. Whip them into shape, Edward. Because in a Zen kitchen, the carrots get cut with precision, everybody's silent, and, you know, it's all seamless. He didn't say that. Because he didn't see that. He asks Edward and us to shift our entire understanding of what we are doing. He asks us to see virtue. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? What do we think virtue is? What is it to do with cutting carrots or the practice of Zazen? The Bodhisattva virtues, generosity, morality, patience, energy, meditation, wisdom, are all reflections and an expression of the mind of awakening. To see virtue is to see with the eyes of the Bodhisattva, the eyes of awakening. These eyes are infused with generosity, morality, patience, energy, meditation, wisdom, generosity, kindness, precision, all those things, all of them. So think about it. In the kitchen, if we see the virtue of each of the people and the entire circumstance, what would that be like? How would the carrots be cut? How would people experience their mind and heart? How would they relate to the practice? Not caught by critical mind, comparing mind, not stewing in judgment or righteousness or arrogance. What would that be like? And how would that transform the practice that takes place? How would the carrots be cut? To see in this way is to be free from the trap of our own minds, to step out of a deluded polarity and give clarity in life to the circumstance. It's a lively kind of peace that's both caring and precise, generous, ethical in the deepest sense, energetic and wise. That's what Suzuki Roshi is asking us to see in the circumstance. To embody in the circumstance. That is what we are asked to do in our practice. There is a direct reciprocal relationship between seeing virtue, seeing clearly, and the calmness of our minds. There is a direct relationship between the calmness of our mind and our capacity to see virtue. And the ability to allow that seeing to be the basis of our relationship to a given circumstance and our action in it. Calmness, virtue. Calmness, virtue. Virtue, calmness. Virtue, calmness. I've spoken about this before. You don't calm the mind by putting a manhole cover on top of it. You calm the mind by understanding the vitality and complexity of it. It is all of you. We cultivate a calm mind by seeing virtue, deeply looking for the wisdom, generosity, and aliveness in a circumstance not caught by the habits of criticalness, comparison, and thoughtless striving. Those things, when they dominate, are not a calm line, and virtue is invisible to us. This is a mind and heart at peace, one able to move with reality and not pick fights with it. How exhausting is that when we continue to pick fights with reality, as if we could win, right? It is a mind able to act on behalf of all beings with clarity and strength, and does not mistake real strength for the need to control. In our relationship, this is transforming. In our Zazen is the foundation of stability. So, in Zazen, we do not go to war with our minds, hearts, or bodies. We do not need to control, and we also are not wimpy in our efforts. We can settle into a space that is deeper, stronger, and more true than our ideas or opinions. Even though ideas and opinions can come through our mind, sometimes like it's like a tribe of chattering monkeys, right? We can welcome everything without needing to argue with it. We are enacting the way of the Bodhisattva, the eye of awakening, as we sit and we can see whatever arises. Unflappable, rooted, at peace, even when we're wobbling like crazy. No idea of self to defend, no idea of Zazen to fight for, no need to give up or retreat, no need to go anywhere, just open heart and mind and strong dedication to stay here. It's important to remember that this is not a mythical place that only a few people can find. It is right beneath our feet, right on our cushion. We simply need to return again and again and again and again in a quite ordinary way. Entrusting ourselves to this moment, include whatever it is. See virtue. Calm mind. Suzuki Roshi advised us to see clearly that we include but are not limited to all the comings and goings of our minds and hearts. With our practice, we recognize all of it as a part of who we are in the deepest possible sense, like our hands and eyes. And we do not need to be disturbed or at war with any of it. None of it. Imagine. That does not mean that a Zen kitchen is a free-for-all. It doesn't mean that our Zazen is a free-for-all. It means that we continue to develop this kind of deep investigation that's all-inclusive. In that way, we come to know, in a very personal, intimate way, the one that can see in this way. Suzuki Roshi said, when you practice Zazen, everything practices Zazen. Everything you have is practicing Zazen. Buddha practices Zazen. Bodhidharma, the first ancestor in China, practices Zazen. And everything practices Zazen with you. And you share your practice with everything. Zazen happens in that way. Our real life happens in that way. Our real bodhisattva way happens in that way. You want to hear that again?
Yes.
When you practice Zazen, everything practices Zazen. Everything you have is practicing Zazen. Buddha practices Zazen. Bodhidharma practices Zazen. And everything practices Zazen with you. And you share your practice with everything. Zazen happens in that way. Our real life happens in that way. Our real bodhisattva way happens in that way. If we think of our minds and hearts as the kitchen at Tassajara, awash in uncooperative activities sometimes, There are times in the kitchen at Tassajara. Or sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've ever worked in a really busy situation where just there are times when everything just comes together. Years ago, I worked at Kaiser, and I worked with this one woman, and it just seemed like we just were dancing all day. So busy, and dancing all day long. And the kitchen at Tassajara can be like that sometimes. People just moving, knowing what to do, doing it, devoting themselves to it. Things bubbling on the stove, sound of knives, cutting, all of it. But it's not always so. It's not always so. Sometimes it is kind of a free-for-all. Sometimes our minds are like that. Our hearts are like that. Sometimes rigid, sometimes agitated, sometimes utterly at sea or heedless. Our intention when we sit down for zazen is certainly not for our minds to run amok, be thoughtless, distracted, or filled with thoughts. We don't intend to not pay attention or be overrun with emotion. We may say to ourselves the equivalent of Edwards, just cut carrots, just stir the soup. But when we do that, we make a fundamental mistake and are anything but stable. This is the point. Calm mind, see virtue. See virtue, calm mind. In zazen and in a trusted Zen practice place, we ask ourselves to set aside the need to impact and control. This can be challenging, very challenging, because it can run counter to a desire to feel oneself as having power or even existing. But you can pay attention to that urge, what you think is right, the comparing mind, and let it go. Just for now, let it go. This is what a place of practice in zazen affords us. The possibility of entering the Dharma gate that Suzuki Roshi is opening for us. Inclusion, not going to war, seeing virtue, calm mind. We can cultivate the mind that can see in this way. And we can ask ourselves, do you want to see virtue? Do you want to have the eyes of awakening? Then practice the virtues of generosity, energy, wisdom, patience in your zazen, in your life. Become interested in and committed to uncovering the calm mind that is already there. Already there. No manhole covers. Okay? So follow these teachings. It's not easy, but that's not a problem. We simply do it, and in the doing, we come to know stability and aliveness that exists in our body, in our mind, and in our heart. I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, we call the Saturday morning program Come As You Are. And we do that not just so that people will know that everyone is welcome here and you don't have to fit some mold to walk in the door, but also because we want to communicate that who you are is complete. You do not need to package yourself in some way. You don't need to shape yourself in some way. In fact, you cannot. You will continue to be who you are, right? Not that you don't change, but who else are you going to be? Someone else? In zazen, Everything is shed. And there we are. Tough sometimes, but also sacred. To include it all, to see with virtue, to allow a calm mind to emerge in the practice, to realize the truth of the teachings just as you are. It's already all there.